Kripa Sindhu Bhavacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Ukam Karoti Vachalam Pangam Langayate Garim Tat Kripa Tamaham Vande Shigurundina Tarane. We're praying for the to be connected and represent the previous acharyas so that Vande Hum Shiguru covers everything. Then there's many others that go into more details. So we have so many previous acharyas and Krishna, and we want to remember them. I saw the signboard on some construction. Sheikh is saying, I didn't read the whole thing, but our ancestors left us a great legacy, and we have to, you know, carry on or something and please them. So we have our ancestors are the previous acharyas, and they've paved the way for us, and they left us with so many books. And Srila Prabhupada, you know, has taken whatever we need from all the books of all the previous acharyas and given it to us in his purports and in his life. So we're very, very fortunate. Bhagavad Gita is Krishna Leela. Mm-hmm. Not only Braj Leela is Krishna Leela, Bhagavad Gita is also Krishna Leela. Very important Leela that Krishna actually spoke. So we have the actually words of God, and we can check, you know, everything else. If it lines up with that, then we know it's okay. That's special mercy of Krishna. That, and he somehow not only spoke it and it was recorded 5,000 years ago, but it's been preserved. Without, there's no, nobody is doubting, you know, where the Bhagavad Gita came from or what's the original or anything. Other scriptures, there's a lot of controversy. So many big scholars are trying to decide, you know, what did Jesus, did he say this one? Maybe, maybe not. You know, who wrote the Bible or who changed it? You know, and they have so many records of that. But Bhagavad Gita, we have exactly Krishna's words. We even have the Sanskrit. So. Interpretations, there are many, many have been off, but the basic thing is always there. So when we get the commentary of a devotee of Krishna, then we really connect to Krishna. So this is Bhagavad Gita chapter 9. Chipram bhavati dharmatma.
Chipram bhavati dharmatma.
Vasat chantam nagachati.
Nagachati.
Konteya pati janiha.
Konteya pati janiha.
Name bhakta pranashati.
Name bhakta pranashati.
Easy one, right? You want one? Somebody can chant it.
Chipram
bhavati dharmatma.
Chipram
bhavati dharmatma. Svasat chantam nigacchati.
Kaunteya
pati janiha.
Name
bhakta pranashyati. Okay. When Prabhupada, when we chanted the slokas, he would say, ladies, but now we don't hear that. Just Prabhupada didn't know somebody might say that. But he always said that, ladies. And they would all chant very enthusiastically, so many. Prabhupada would say, very good. He liked. So this is a very important verse. Chipram. Very soon. Bhavati. Becomes. Dharma Atma. Righteous. Svasat Shantam, lasting peace, Nigachati, attain, Konteya, O son of Kunti, Pratijanihi, declare, na, never, may, my, Bhakta, devotee, Pranashati, perishes. Translation. He quickly becomes righteous and attains lasting peace. O son of Kunti, therefore declare it boldly. My devotee never perishes. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. This should not be misunderstood. In the seventh canto, the Lord says, seventh chapter, says that one who is engaged in mischievous activities cannot become a devotee of the Lord. One who is not a devotee of the Lord has no good qualifications, however, or whatsoever. The question remains then, how can a person engage in abominable activities, either by accident or by intention, be a pure devotee? This question may justly be raised. The miscreants, as stated in the seventh chapter, who never come to the devotional service of the Lord, have no good qualifications. As stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam, generally a devotee who is engaged in the nine kinds of devotional service is engaged in the process of cleansing all material contamination from the heart. He puts the Supreme Personality of Godhead within his heart, and all sinful contaminations are naturally washed away. Continuous thinking of the Supreme Lord makes him pure by nature. According to the Vedas, there is a certain regulation that if one falls down from his exalted position, he has to undergo certain ritualistic processes to purify himself. But here, there is no such condition, because the purifying process is already there in the heart of the devotee, due to his remembering the Personality of Godhead constantly. Therefore, the chanting of Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, should be continued without stopping. This will protect the devotee from all accidental fall downs. He will thus remain perpetually free from all material contamination. All right. So there's different ideas of why Krishna tells Arjuna. Some say because Krishna has a reputation as not truthful. I don't know, that's some kind of Brijvasi story. Because we're reading Bhagavad Gita and we're not doubting, you know, people accept Krishna as an authority. But he's telling Arjuna, you should preach. You tell everyone. Maybe that's an order for all of us. You declare it boldly. Indrajuna Maharaj tells how when he met Prabhupada the first time, Prabhupada told him, you boldly preach the chanting of the holy name. And he told us, individually he told devotees, and he generally told everybody, fearless, devotee is fearless. Preach, don't worry. You know, somebody may like it or not. Like, even Nityananda got chased away by, not only by Jagai and Madai, other people also. Get out of here. You Vaishnavas are just a disturbance. You know, they were saying like that. Chasing him away, you know, threatening to throw Shiva's house in the Ganga and call the king to kill him. And, you know, just because they were chanting and saying we can't sleep because these Vaishnavas are always making so much noise. So you declare it boldly. So the previous verse, of course, is the most misused verse maybe in the Bhagavad Gita. Apichet sudaracharo nivak tareva samantavya samyag vivastito isha. That even if one does the most abominable activities, if he's engaged in devotional service, he's considered saintly. So that someone may say, well, you know, they're doing all abominable things, they say, you know, Krishna says it's all right. But that's not what he's saying. And that's what stated in the purport of that one, and then this verse also. Someone may question, and how can that be? But that's the power of bhakti. If someone, you know, for some reason accidentally falls down, or he may not be the most perfectly brahminically behaved person, like when Prabhupada went to India, you know, many people were criticizing us, Malachas and Yavanas. We don't have the most brahminical habits, you know. But Prabhupada would say they're always chanting Hare Krishna. They're surrendering and do anything for Krishna, you know, rather than just, you know, facing the right direction when they eat or something, you know, right? And the brahminical rules that people have. And gradually devotees learn. But so you declare it boldly. very quickly he'll become righteous if he's engaged in devotional service. That doesn't just mean, you know, the activities, but really engage in devotional service, really thinking of Krishna, trying to act for Krishna's pleasure. So there's a few things I was going to ask some questions here. Of course, Prabhupada immediately refers to the seventh chapter. What are the, who are the miscreants that cannot never come to Krishna?
Cannot.
Yeah. Try again. Do it slower. Prapadyante. They can't surrender to Krishna. The lowest of mankind, those whose knowledge is stolen away by illusion, those who, they may have good qualities like intelligence or lots of wealth or, you know, beauty, but they misuse it. So they don't care about Krishna. And they just get puffed up. Duskritino, mudha, the poor, my effort, and then those who are completely demons, asuram bhava mashita. And then one of my godbrothers said he was one of the first, you know, full-time book distributors. And he would show people, he said, these are people that don't like these books. Yeah. But I know you're not like that, right? Oh yeah, I'll take it. But those kind of people are there, and very hard to change them. But Lord Chaitanya did change many. But some are just determined. No, you know, they want to be like that. They're attached. So they cannot become a devotee. So whoever is not a devotee has no good qualifications, even if he's doing all good things, supposedly good things. People might criticize a devotee because he's not perfect in every way, but if he's trying to be a devotee and he's trying to be perfect, then Krishna accepts that as the best. And that's what it's talking about here. Not that he's thinking, well, you know, like Sahajya. They'll say, well, you know, didn't your guru tell you that you can counteract any amount of sinful activity by chanting Hare Krishna? So you don't have to worry, you can sin all you want. This is in every, now I don't know every religion, I know it was very prominent in Christianity, still is. We have these, they call born again in Jesus. Christians cannot be pure, they're just saved. You know, you can't be perfect, so don't worry, God will just save you. All you have to do is sign up, you know. And they go, very bad mentality. Sahajya. That's how in the history of the Christian church, it was first just the Roman Catholic Church was organized. And they became very, very powerful, and they were dominating, you know, the known world practically. But you know, they became very corrupt, many of the priests. So they started a business, they called it selling indulgences. Indulgence means, you know, sinful. So if you wanted to get drunk, you could pay the priest and get a license or something. And they're really doing that. So, you know, not everybody was happy with that. The sinful people were very happy, and the corrupt priests were happy. And still there's many, many so-called monks, so-called, you know, Brahmins, so-called priests doing that kind of thing. So then there was that Martin Luther, he was a monk, and he didn't agree with that. He didn't agree with a few other things also. So he made the Protestant church, the Protestant, and, you know, tried to change everything. But then somebody protested him, and now there's thousands of them. And they're all protesting something. And many have this idea that all you have to do is go to church or just pay your, you know, give a donation and then you're off the hook. That's a very bad mentality. Even if it's true that, you know, Krishna will keep forgiving. But if one is purposely thinking it's all right to be sinful, then there's no, this doesn't, that doesn't apply at all. But it applies when someone is really trying, but they slip and slide. You know, Krishna doesn't notice that. Just like when your child is learning to walk or learning to eat, and it slobbers all over, you don't. It's okay, right? When the child's learning to walk and he keeps falling down, you don't condemn him. It's cute. So then it mentions the 9 kinds of devotional activities. What are they? One by one, different people. What are the 9 devotional activities? 9 types. One by one. One person say one. Shravanam, what does that mean?
Hearing,
yeah. And? What does that mean? Now, what is hearing? What does kirtana mean? Chanting, yeah. Okay, who is famous for hearing? Who is famous for chanting? Right. And that's for the Bhagavatam. Then what's next? Smaranam. What does that mean?
Remembering.
And then, what's next? Vandana. What is that?
Approved.
What is Vandana?
Prayer.
Yeah. And who's that? Akrura. That's an interesting personality also, because Akrura was involved in all kinds of intrigues against Krishna at one time, later on. Still, he's a great devotee, so he's an example. He got caught up, and he was cursed by the gopis, actually, and then he got caught up in bad association and, you know, was accusing Krishna of stealing the Shamantaka jewels. So, but he is still a great devotee. Then, Vandanam? What? Serving the lotus feet, right? And who's that? Lakshmi, yeah. Always serving the lotus. She wants to, she's sitting on the chest, but she likes to serve the feet. And then? After Padasevanam? Sakyam. What does Sakyam mean? Maybe you know all these words I meant.
Friendship.
And who's that? There's many other friends of Krishna, but are we remember Arjuna? And then Dasyam, the greatest servant. So he's even more famous than Ram. Servant. So many temples of Hanuman. And there's many, many movies of Hanuman, and he's even in China. Yeah. I forget the Chinese name, but there's a monkey god, and he's just like Hanuman. He can change form, and he's always helping the good people. And he can fly, and he's completely good. So, you know, the fame of Hanuman is spread. And, of course, these things are known all over the world, you know, at one time. And then gradually it gets disconnected and gets changed a little bit, but same thing is there. Then, After Dasyam service, then? And what does Atmanivedana mean?
Complete surrender.
Complete surrender. And who's that? Bali Maharaj. So these are... when someone is engaged in that, it's a process of cleansing all material contamination from the heart. That means, you know, lusty desires. It gets cleared away, and then one keeps Krishna in the heart, and everything is cleansed. Krishna takes over. Continuous thinking of the Lord makes someone pure. So Krishna says in the end of chapter 9, what does he say? So, yeah. Prabhupada said, just do these 4 things. Man mana, think of me, think of Krishna. How can you think of Krishna? Chanting is one way. How else?
Kunti, Subhadra Suri, so he sees the water, that's all the Krishna. You can always think.
Yeah, by you reading Bhagavad Gita, you should be able to think of Krishna. All of Krishna's leelas, pastimes, even other incarnations, worshipping the deity, right? So think of Krishna and how to serve Krishna, how to spread the holy name is thinking of Krishna. And then manmana bhava mad bhakto, what does that mean? Become my devotee. Now that's another interesting one because that's twice in the Bhagavad Gita. It's also 965, right? Or 1865. Right before Sarvadharma and Parichaya. And manmana bhava mad bhakto. So when Prabhupada was asked by somebody to recommend an English Bhagavad Gita, he said he knew there were many, but he said he couldn't recommend any of them because of the commentaries. So, and many people had read Bhagavad Gita in other countries, even in India, but very few people were becoming devotees because the Mayavadi evil interpreters would say Krishna doesn't mean that. He meant something else. He doesn't mean offer everything to him. He doesn't mean think of him. He means think of something else. Why did he say him then? And then why are you reading Bhagavad Gita if you think Krishna is such a fool that he doesn't know what he's talking about? But that's how they trick people. They're word jugglery and they can write very nicely. So manmana bhava madhyaji. Worship me. So by worshiping Krishna, and there's many ways to worship Krishna, just going to temple, paying obeisances, you know, actually doing deity worship. Reading Bhagavad Gita, what does Krishna say about that? One worships me with? With his intelligence. That's the most important. If your intelligence is absorbed in worshiping Krishna, then the mind and body will also be. Otherwise, many people only with their body. Right? They go to the temple and they... But their mind is in the office. The intelligence is who knows where, if they have any. But they do go to, with their body. Maybe they give a little something. So, but if the intelligence is engaged, then you really know who is Krishna. So studying Bhagavad Gita is very important to purify the intelligence, because intelligence is what, you know, proper intelligence is strong, will guide the mind, and the mind will guide the senses. Otherwise, the senses drag the mind all over. Like that picture with the horses. The senses are very strong, and they just drag. The mind is broken. The example is when you have horses and, you know, you hold those reins, we call it in English, and they control the horse. That's the mind. The intelligence is the driver. So if the driver is sleeping or dies or something, then nobody's controlling the senses. Or if the mind is broken, you know, you can pull and nothing happens. So we need to fix the intelligence. Madhyaji mam namaskaru. And? Bow down. Bow down, Mr. Hare Krishna. You ever heard that song? Huh? Famous singer named Boy George in England. And he has a lot of trouble with the regulated principles, but he likes devotees. And he made that song, and it became a big hit, actually. It helped the preaching a lot. Bow down, Mr. Hare Krishna. A bunch of other things are in there too. Guru, Krishna, Guru, I think. Some other mantras, and, you know, Ganesh. But people, they were playing it. I heard even in the discotheques in Jakarta, when they played that, then when they said Hare Krishna, everybody would go. And, so anything that promotes Hare Krishna, we're happy. It's whoever it is, even though that, and he got purified also, became a campaigner against sinful activities. So normally, if a person falls down, you know, and he's in a high position, he has to perform a lot of prayaschitta, ritualistic activities, or maybe even go to prison or something. But a devotee, the purifying process is already there, so if he keeps up the purifying process, then, or even starts it, like Jagai and Madai, they had been so sinful, but they had never offended devotees. And then when they started chanting and they surrendered, then Lord Chaitanya told everybody, never think about their previous life. Never think, oh, these people, what, how can he be a devotee? He used to do this and that. Never think like that. Very Lord Chaitanya's order. And then he said that he had transferred all the sinful reactions of Jagai and Madai to who? Anybody know? The first Lord Chaitanya took all the sinful reactions, turned black color. And he asked, how do I look? And Advaita said, you look like Krishna. And then he said, I've taken all the sinful reactions of Jagai and Madai. Now we'll have a big kirtan and I will purify. And then after the kirtan was over, he said, I've transferred these sinful reactions to people who criticize devotees. And if you'll notice, people that are busy criticizing devotees are never happy. They're miserable. But they blame the devotee. Oh, that devotee, that's why. You know, that GBC, that I'm suffering, but, you know, that's why I'm not. But they're actually, you know, they're drinking poison, you know, thinking it's going to hurt somebody else. That's what, you know, revenge kind of thing. They're criticizing devotees. They're criticizing anybody is bad. When you criticize anyone, we get those, whatever we're criticizing, we get. If you glorify someone, you get those qualities also. So we should glorify devotees. That's why we have the history of so many devotees, and we have the Bhagavad Gita, and Chaitanya Charitamrita, and everything. So chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
should be continued without stopping. Kirtaniya Sada Hari. In order to do that, what is necessary? Manadena, manadena, kirtaniya. Then we can chant all the time in a humble state of mind, offering all respects to others, not expecting anything in return. That's a tough one, right? Normally, you know, we want to get something. But when a pure devotee, you have to, Krishna will say, you know, you have to ask for something. Many incidences in scripture. The devotee, no, I don't want anything. You have to ask. The devotee just asks for devotional service. They ask for association of devotees. They ask for to be able to remember Krishna. They don't say, okay, yeah, well, okay, give me a few kingdoms, you know. Give me a million shares of Microsoft or something. You have to be careful what you want, because Krishna fulfills all desires. So that the desire is the key to everything. And bhakti yoga is the process to purify the desires. And in Mayavadi things, they try to eliminate desire, but that's not possible. So they're too busy desiring not to have desire to ever, you know, they just get stunned, kind of. And they give up gross sense gratification, but they're in their mind, they're crazy. But we develop that desire. I want Krishna, I want to chant the holy name. Want to be with devotees, want to go to Mayapur. You know, people want to go on a holiday, right? So they have so many books about, like on some airlines in Asia, and there's one in England, and they have in their magazine, it just has all the places you can go, you know, all the different cities, and then it tells you what's the best restaurant, what's the best hotel, and what's the best entertainment, and, you know, people are studying that, trying to decide which dress should I buy or which haircut should I get, you know. But devotees, or which car, you know, it gets very confusing nowadays. You know, there's so many choices of everything. It used to be much easier, you know, right? Like, you know, if you want to buy a car in India, when I first went to India, there was only two kinds of cars, and they were all the one was black and one was white. And you just decide you want a big one or a small one, and you don't have much. Maybe inside could be a little different. I don't know. Now, you know, first you decide which model out of millions, and then which brand, and then which model, and then they pull out the catalog, what kind of upholstery you want, what kind of stereo you want, and what kind of all the other things you want, what kind of tires and what kind of accessories. You know, I don't know how people ever decide. But they're busy thinking, I got to have this, I want that. And devotees are thinking, I want Krishna. And they get, you know, other things also, but they don't think about it so much. If you just want Krishna, you'll get Krishna. When you have Krishna, you don't need anything else. You're completely satisfied. So that protects the devotee. So we should declare it boldly. Preach the glories of the holy name. This is Kali Yuga. It's a terrible time. Horrible time. You know, Kaler Dosha Nade Rajan. It's an ocean of fault. Right? Just look in any news report. You know, you can see how bad everything is. Any statistics, you know, how many crime, how many people in America especially, how many people are in prison, they have the biggest prison population in the world, at least the highest percentage. And it's not the biggest population. The war on crime, see, we're really winning. But they're just producing more and more criminals. And the more money goes for prisons, they cut back the school budget, they cut back the Medicaid budget, they cut back everything for the prison budget. It's very expensive to keep people in prison. And, you know, they're crazy. Some people are in there for practically nothing. You know, rich guy, the big criminals, they get out, they don't have to go. So, how many alcoholics, how many abortion, how many, you know, terrible, terrible things. How many people killed in car accidents? It just goes on and on and on. It's Kali Yuga. How much corruption everywhere, in every level of society. And in Nigeria, that's famous as the most corrupt. You know. When they list corrupt countries, they leave out Nigeria. It's just so far ahead of them. You know, they start with Indonesia or something. But it starts with the corrupt priests, the corrupt so-called religious leaders, telling people, you can sin all you want. All you have to do is give the money to the church. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just worship me, I'll get you out of it. You know, they're cheating the people so much. So that's where it all starts. And then they think, well, the priests are corrupt, so what's wrong with it? And people like that. They like when the monk is corrupt. And they feel like it's okay for me. They feel guilty of when they meet the real strict, you know. One of our Christian friends in America is a professor. And in the early days, we were having a lot of opposition from these so-called Christians. He said that's because they've been telling people for years, you can't stop sinning, don't worry, just give money. And he said, you people stop sinning, they don't like that. Upset. You're showing that you can stop. You know, if you chant Hare Krishna. If you know that. But even you don't have to know that. You know, the Bhagavatam tells us, you know, what happens. We know the reactions for sinful activities. You know, better we know about the good activities. We want to tell people what to do. Keep busy. Chant Hare Krishna. You know, learn to offer food to Krishna. And then you get purified. You don't have to be thinking about all the sinful activities and how to stop them. You automatically stop. Try to teach people what to do right. Chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare
Hare. And distribute books. The devotee told me, he said he distributed 8,000 books in December. I don't know if it was a team effort or what, in Abu Dhabi. And all over the world, devotees distributing so many books that are, you know, really trying to help people, and it's changing so many people. People are so cheated and bewildered, you know. So the people that write books against religion and against God, they become very popular because God has been so much misrepresented. People think, yeah, okay, better there's no God. They put advertisements on the buses in London a couple of years ago. Probably there's no God. So enjoy life. Then it had atheism.com and a couple others. I don't remember the other web pages. They wanted to put there is no God. But then the advertising agency said, if you put that, the Christians will make it down immediately. They'll protest, they'll blow up the bus or something. So they just said, probably there's no God. And that means probably there is God, maybe. But their idea is, so enjoy life. If there's God, you can't enjoy life, because God says don't drink, don't go to prostitute, don't eat meat, don't do this, don't do that. You can't enjoy. If there's no God, it's much better. And they put this idea that God is just busy punishing everybody. That's not Krishna. Even Yamaraj is not punishing people. He's just, you know, they have to get their just reward. You have to get our karma for whatever we do. Krishna is waiting for people to join him in the spiritual world. He's providing all facilities, coming himself, especially as Lord Chaitanya in this recent time, to spread this Sankirtan movement. So, Kirtana, you know, Hastiyeka Mahadgunan, one very great thing is there in Kali Yuga. Kirtanyad Eva Krishnasya, just by that. So people say, why do you chant Krishna? Because the Bhagavatam says Krishna. That's the most best one. And we're in a hurry. We don't have that much time. So, Kirtanyad Eva Krishnasya, Mukta Sangha Arangaji. You can get the topmost liberation, which means you become a devotee. Not that you just cease to exist or something, merge into something. Not that kind of mukti. But you become a devotee. You get with Krishna. Just by Kirtanadeva Krishna. Yeah. So Lord Chaitanya said that. Hari Nama, Hari Nama, Hari Nama. Eva Kevalam, Natseva, Natseva, Natseva. So Bhagavad Gita is very, very important, and everyone should read it regularly. And we should try to, you know, find ways and means to distribute it to more and more and more people. Everyone benefits by Bhagavad Gita. I just read that one devotee was distributing Bhagavad Gita, and one couple, they were kind of, you know, hippie kind of spiritual seekers, and they were interested, and they took it. Then they came back and said, this book might have a lot of good things, but this one verse, no way. I don't want this book. So the devotee was asking him, what's wrong? He said, Sarva Dharma Parityaja, you have to surrender everything. I can't imagine that God is a person, and, you know. And the devotee said, yeah, I have the same problem. But then somehow he talked and talked and, you know, bewildered them and got them to change the Bhagavad Gita for science of self-realization, which explains, you know, and then they went away happy. But that's how people are. They're so conditioned and so bewildered. And they, you know, intelligent people seen all this cheating religion. See, like so-called Buddhist monks, we don't know if they're real Buddhist monks or not. Thailand, they'll come. There's one thing they call the spiritual fair, and we were there. And one guy came and he sat down. He looked exactly like a monk. Sold lottery tickets for a couple hours. And people think, oh, I get the ticket from the monk. I'll win, see. And they do that. Hindu. Brahmins do that also. I've heard. They people go and ask them, you know, which bet to make or something. I think that if I get this from the monk, it must be good. You know, so the cheaters and the cheated. But Bhagavad Gita is not cheating. It's completely perfect. So thank you very much. Bhagavad Gita ki jai. In chapter 9, Prabhupada said, he said the middle seven chapters are the most important because they're stressing on bhakti. And chapter 9 is in the middle of the chapters. That's especially important. And Prabhupada said by reading that chapter, you can become free from envy, which would be nice. Because the envious person can never understand Krishna or render service. So any question or comment?
In a recent discussion from devotees, one of the devotees brought up this point that Lord Krishna, although we say that he is a kind father and he's very eager to get the living entities back to the spiritual world, it's not that he's always sitting and sitting down and thinking that, oh, when the devotees are going to come back to me. He's just so immersed in the past tense over there.
How do you know he's not thinking? Because in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita it says, you know, when that Gopa Kumara, Krishna says, I've been waiting for you, you know, it's so happy. Krishna, when he saw him, he fell unconscious, and the people were wondering, what did this guy do to Krishna? You know? So that's what we hear, that when someone comes back, Krishna greets him, and he's not like, you know, Krishna is doing millions of things at the same time, so he still can enjoy his pastime. Worry doesn't help anybody. In the case of Gopa Kumara, he said, I had to make arrangements. I gave you birth here and did this because you were taking so long to come back. So he's maybe going to do that for all of us. That's why we managed to come in an association of devotees. So that's the thing, that people have made up so many things, like, you know, Krishna makes so much effort to get people to come back. Comes himself and displays all the, you know, the Vrindavan pastimes and all those pastimes to attract people back. He sends so many other incarnations, you know, for different people are attracted. And then he comes as Lord Chaitanya, and, you know, he leaves the Bhagavad Gita, and there's so many scriptures, makes so many arrangements. So he's trying very hard all the time. We don't listen. That's why, you know, he encourages you to declare it boldly, you know, because people don't believe that. But if you go and tell people, look, I read this book and it really helped me, and I think it will help you, love this book, I was this and that. The devotees that really distribute a lot of books, that's how they talk. They don't just say, this is God and you've got to surrender it. I know our best book distributor in Bali, he says, I was drinking, I was gambling, I was miserable, you know. Then I read the Bhagavad Gita, now I changed completely and I'm free from all that. People think, oh, maybe I should read it. I like it. Prabhupada said, you be happy. You know, this is a quote, Jai Vatakamaraj asked Prabhupada, how can we pray you? He said, you be happy. You tell other people you're happy. Then you can repay the debt to the spiritual man. Prabhupada said, you don't have to be very knowledgeable or anything. To preach, you just tell people, I really like chanting, I like this book, it really makes, you know, and people can't argue with that. They'll argue when you try to tell them, this is the absolute truth, this is the greatest scripture, this is somebody on the other end of me. They can't argue with your own testimony. Right? They might say you're just saying that because, you know, you're a salesman or something, but we're not getting a commission. All right?
Maharaj, you mentioned about that everything should be utilized for preaching of the preaching the name of the Krishna.
Yeah.
In the last ILS, I was hearing Devendra Maharaj.
Yeah.
In one of the discourse, he was mentioning that Srila Bhakti Thakur Maharaj. So he, when the Vaishnava was he came only the place of the religious places the Vaishnava visited the Lord in the Matha.
Yeah.
So there he arranged a luxurious tour for him, and he arranged a lot of singers and professionals like that.
Yeah.
So that if he is coming, the whole everybody knows that only the Vaishnava is visiting the Matha, so the name of the Krishna will be...
Who is visiting? Who is visiting?
Who is visiting?
The Lord Vaishnava.
Viceroy. Sorry, I don't understand telegram.
So he was he visited the Matha.
Yeah.
So he didn't visit any other places. The only Matha, our Matha, he visited.
He greeted him like a king.
Yeah. Teaching like anything, like because the respected guest is coming. So for him, then the professional singers, professional these things, and even the food, like he take the food, that type of food he arranged. So for this one, he went to that extent.
Good.
that was really good Maharaj.
Yeah, well.
So everything he propagates, everything can be used for the chanting, the preaching the name of the Krishna.
Yeah, we like to have famous people in the temple. Sometimes people get confused. In England, there's a famous comedian. His name is Russell Brand. They say he's a genius, unbelievable. Now he's more like preaching a lot, and not exactly Krishna, but he's influenced. But he was very famous for intoxication and illicit sex. But he liked devotees, and he had a television show, and he did this stand-up. And at the end of every show, he'd go, Hare Krishna. So devotees thought, this is great. And some of the Indians would come, and can't you stop him from saying Hare Krishna because he's so famous for his sinful activity? But devotees said, no, we like it. And, you know, when you're preaching in England to the young people, they say, oh yeah, Russell Brand, if he likes it, I'll try it. But he changed a lot. He met Radhanath Maharaj, and he put in his biography, Radhanath Swami knows the truth. And now he's more preaching, you know, like great morality, actually, but he's changed it. But he comes to the temple all the time. So it makes people think, well, I'll go there also. And in other religions, in Israel, there's a Kabbalah, you know, religion. It's a branch of Judaism. It's not the traditional, they don't like them. It's weird. Because they stress on reincarnation. They talk about that. And the traditional Jews, they also have that, but only the rabbi is supposed to know about it or talk about it. They're not supposed to teach common people. It's like before Lord Chaitanya, you know, only the brahmanas could.
Yeah.
Lord Chaitanya opened it up. And actually the Kabbalah originator started at almost the same year as Lord Chaitanya. Yeah. Quite interesting. And a few other things like that. Anyway, that Madonna, she became a Kabbalah. So when she came to Tel Aviv, he made a big, big, you know, advertising, she's coming to our center. And the people would say, why are you promoting this witch, you know? He said that, you know, but it makes all kinds of people think, let me check it out, you know, let me check out Kabbalah, because she's doing it. So we like it, you know, when famous people come to the temple, famous people are chanting, it's good. Bhaktisiddhanta was the expert in utilizing everything. You know, Rupa Goswami taught that, you know, Yukta Vairagya, but Bhaktisiddhanta really did it. And Prabhupada used everything. You know, he said, you know, he used everything. He taught us to utilize everything in Krishna's service. But just be careful that you're using it in Krishna's service. Like, I think it was Tamal Krishna, he met some follower of a famous Mayavadi. And this Mayavadi was supposed to be like allergic to money or something. And if somebody gave him money, he would get sick, you know, if he touched money. Prabhupada said, my guru would take it right away and tell him. And he would spend it right away also for Krishna. So we utilize everything, all kinds of people also. That's what Lord Chaitanya opened up, which is the Bhagavatam anyway, but no one is disqualified, you know, by their body. Their, you know, their past activities. And Lord Chaitanya opened that up, so he was criticized. Bhaktisiddhanta was heavily, you know, attacked. Prabhupada was criticized. But he made so many people into Vaishnavas from all over the world. Whereas other people thought, even now people think only Indians. You know. And then they think, well, only certain Indians and then only Brahmins. That's completely wrong by activity. Okay, is it time to stop?
Thank you.
Hare Krishna.
Gaura
Anga.
Water.
Oh,